Hello, and welcome to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Adrian Tutnam, and I'm going to be your guide as we ramble through a miscellany of sounds from the forgotten past. And today, we're going to begin the programme with a dance that was all the rage in the early 1920s, but is virtually forgotten nowadays, the shimmy. This recording is from an operetta by Imre Kalman, which opened in Vienna in 1921 as Die Bajaderin, and a year later in New York as The Yankee Princess. It's called Fräulein, bitte wollen Sie sie Schimmi tanzen, and it's played by the ABC Tanzorchester. The recording's a bit rough at the start, but it gets a bit better as it goes along. Fräulein, bitte wollen Sie sie Schimmi tanzen by Imre Kalman, an Hungarian composer who was popular in Germany and America. We now move on to a composer who was born in Germany in 1815 but spent much of his life in Hungary, teaching at a musical academy in Pest, Friedrich Robert Volkmann. Since his death in 1883, his music has hardly ever been played, which is a great pity because he wrote some extremely attractive pieces. When the Chicago Symphony Orchestra decided to make a recording of The Bee's Wedding by Mendelssohn in 1927, it left them with a dilemma. The Bee's Wedding only lasts for 75 seconds, so they needed another short classical piece to fill up the rest of a 12-inch record side. Luckily for us, they chose something by Volkmann, whose delightful music had by then sunk into undeserved oblivion. Here is the Chicago Symphony Orchestra playing Serenade No. 2, Opus 63, by Robert Volkmann. Thank you. That was the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, under their conductor Frederick Stock, in 1927, playing Robert Volkmann's delightful Serenade, Opus 63. I'm pleased to say that Volkmann's music has finally been reissued on a CD, so I'm going to include a link to it on the Life Before Vinyl website. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. In 1923, one of the hit songs of the year was a novelty number called Horsey Keep Your Tail Up. It appeared in many versions, including a rude one which my mother told me she occasionally sang when she was a teenager. This particular recording of it, on the Imperial label, is played by Stan Greening's Dance Orchestra as a foxtrot dance, without any lyrics, clean or otherwise. Stan Greening himself plays the banjo, and Ted Heath, who later led his own band, is probably the trombone player. Strangely, the drummer isn't listed on the studio recording log. But there may be a good reason for that. The recording engineer for Imperial Records was Bill Ditcham, and his initials, WD, often appear scratched in the wax in the label areas of Imperial and Victory Records. He started his career as the organist at the London Aquarium, although I'd never been able to find out why an aquarium needed an organist. But he soon became better known as a dance band drummer. When recordings were made acoustically, as this one was, it was an easy matter for the recording engineer to set the machine going and then rush round and take his place at the drum kit, as long as he didn't have to play at the very beginning or the very end of the piece. So here is Greening's Dance Orchestra with a smash hit of 1923, Horsey Keep Your Tail Up, with Bill Ditcham, the recording engineer, playing the percussion. Thank you. That was the Foxtrot dance version of Horsey Keep Your Tail Up, played by Greening's Dance Orchestra. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. In 1911, an American music professor, Thurlow Lurience, set out across the Crow Indian Reservation in Montana with pencil and paper to note down some of the Native American music before memories of it died out. One of the Indians, a Sioux by the name of Sitting Eagle, sang him a traditional love song based on a tribal legend. Little did he know at the time, but that song was to become one of the most popular and enduring semi-classical love songs of the 20th century. The legend begins with a story similar to Romeo and Juliet, two lovers from rival tribes who were forced to flee from their families. Eventually, their flight brought them to the shores of the beautiful Lake of Minnetonka. Then, finding that they'd strayed into the territory of another unfriendly tribe and realising the hopelessness of their position, they drowned themselves in the lake. Many moons afterwards, some members of their own tribe camped on the shores of the lake and heard the waters singing a weird melody. In the moon's reflection on the waters, two lilies appeared and grew to the skies, the spirits of the departed lovers. That was Thelma Tewson singing By the Waters of Minnetonka, based on a traditional Sioux Indian love song. Our next recording was an interesting attempt to cash in on the success of a film. In 1937, Richard Goulden appeared in several British films. He was a humorous character actor and was ideally suited to star as the mild-mannered civil servant Mr. Penny in a film called The Adventures of Mr. Penny. This recording is one of several which spun off from the film, and is particularly interesting because of the sound effects. Nowadays we've almost forgotten the sound of a pre-war London tram or a room full of typewriters. As this will be our last record for today, this is Adrian Tuttenham thanking you for listening and looking forward to your company again next week for another look at what life was like before vinyl. And leaving you with Richard Goulden as Mr. Penny on Government Service.
Is this a tuppenny halfpenny egg, dear?
What's the matter with it? I bought it at the stores.
Oh, nothing, dear, nothing. Perhaps it's me.
Oh, Henry, don't eat it. Have some ham instead.
Annie, you know, I really have a feeling that clock must be slow.
Now, don't worry, Henry.
Annie, dear, shall we see a picture this evening? I note that Michael Mouse is being shown. You know, I've taken quite a fancy to that quaint little fellow and his strange adventures.
Oh, Henry, you're such a boy. Yes. Oh, Henry, look. There's Mr. Wilson just passed.
Oh, dear, I knew that clock was wrong. Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, dear. What would you like for supper? Kippers or fin and haddock?
Oh, kippers, I think.
All right, dear.
And 7 makes 16, and 4 makes 21, and 8 carry 1. Oh, Jones, would you bring me ledger B?
Okay.
Oh, do speak King's English, Jones.
Oh, Penny.
Oh.
I want you to go out and collect fourpence.
Fourpence, Mr. Gridley?
Yes. One of our conductors reports that a Mr. Basil Devereux of 60A Abercrombie Place travelled on Route 53 without paying his fare.
Really? How shameful.
Quite so. These deliberate frauds must be stopped. I can leave it with you to take the necessary steps with Mr. Devereux to prevent a recurrence.
Yes, Mr. Gridley.
Oh, tell him that we don't want to make a case of it.
Okay. I mean, certainly, Mr. Gridley. Good evening. Is Mr. Devereux within?
Is he expecting you?
Well, whether he's expecting me or not, I must ask you to give him my name. I'm here on government service.
Oh, I see. Oh, I'm sure I beg your pardon, sir. Come along in, would you? Would you mind waiting in here, sir?
Oh, thank you.
Yes, you see, he's a small man with a bowler hat and thick spectacles. He's a master of disguise, I should say. But as soon as he mentioned the government, well, I knew he was the right one.
Good. Now, perhaps there will be no need to kidnap the ambassador. After all, every man has his price. Ah, here you are, Olga.
Ah, Pierre, has the pigeon arrived?
Yes, he is in the morning room. Go to him. Use your blandishments.
But of course.
I rely on you, Olga. Don't fail to get that envelope from him. It contains the concession for you, you know, huh?
Trust me. Oh, good evening.
Good evening. I'm waiting to see Mr. Devereux on a rather important mission.
And yet it might not be so important to you, huh?
It's exceedingly important, madam, I assure you. Perhaps I could see...
What is the hurry, my little cabbage?
What?
Come, sit by this window.
Oh, no,
what a heavenly night. Do you not feel the winds coming from the star-laden sky?
Oh, if you feel a draught, I'll close the window. But really,
please do not pretend. Let me look into your eyes.
Oh, no, please.
No one would dream to look at you that you were from the government.
Yes.
Weren't you terribly thrilled to be chosen to bring that little envelope?
Oh, it's just part of my everyday duties, I assure you.
You're so assured, so calm. Tell me, have there been no women in your full, vivid life?
Oh, I say, look here. No, really, please.
Why are you so cold?
Oh, on the contrary, madam, I'm exceedingly warm. Would you kindly send for Mr. Devereux, please?
You prefer him to me?
Yes. No, of course not.
Give me that precious envelope. That is all I ask. And in exchange, take my ardent love. The love of a passionate woman.
Dear me, I'm afraid I feel a little faint. I do wish I hadn't ordered a kipper for supper. I couldn't possibly eat it.
Oh, he's English.
Oh, dear
me. He's English. He's English.
Well, so Olga has failed. And you and I come face to face after all.
Mr. Devereux, I assure you that I don't want to cause any difficulty. All I want is the exact amount, and then I will go.
Well, it is no good beating time, but I must be sure who you are. I know all the history from the route.
The route?
Should I be right in saying 53?
That is so, Mr. Devereux. 53 from Oxford Circus, and my officers instructed me to...
Well, then my information was correct. Now, you are not a rich man, as riches go.
No, I'm not. And what with grocer's bills and one... Well, yeah, I don't see what my salary has got to do with this, Mr. Deverell. This is not a personal matter. I'm anxious to settle everything quietly without any fuss.
Oh, you would be willing to settle.
Well, of course, my office is always anxious to avoid bringing these matters into the open.
Quite. But suppose I said no.
No.
At 6:30, I shall leave quietly. A fast boat is waiting. And then what would you do?
Well, I should feel obliged to open that window and call for the assistance of the police. But surely, Mr. Deverell, a little matter like this is nothing to you.
Oh, I see I have mistaken my man. Let me make you a serious offer. Shall we say £2,000?
£2,000?
In a Swiss bank.
£2,000 in a Swiss bank,
oh,
sir.
All right, all right. Make it £5,000.
But I don't think you understand me, Mr. Deverell.
That is my final offer. Think what it would mean to you.
But it's absolutely absurd. I couldn't possibly accept it.
No? Just wait a moment. I'll make it 10,000. £10,000 in small notes. They could not possibly be traced. You would be rich. You would be free.
I really can't understand how you could name such a figure, Mr. Deverell, when you know that my office regards this as a serious matter.
Very well. What is it you want, 53? I will have that envelope. What is your price?
Fourpence.
Fourpence? Oh, do not joke with me, if you please. What is your figure?
I'm perfectly serious. Fourpence is my...
Oh, the police! Oh,
thank heavens you're in time. Good work, 53, to have held him all this time.
Oh, dear me, the police, and I did hope this might have been managed quietly.
So, Mr. Basil Deverell, you thought you could get away with this. You're under arrest. Watch him, Sergeant.
No, no, all I want is fourpence. Oh, please give me fourpence, and then he can have his envelope.
Envelope? What envelope? Let me have it.
No, no, I cannot let you have that envelope. I have been instructed to give this envelope to Mr. Deverell personally and to receive in return the sum of fourpence. After that, I've no doubt he will let you have a look at his envelope.
Well, the special branch certainly have some funny methods. Here you, hand over fourpence.
Here is fourpence, but I do not understand. I have already offered
you... thank you. There, sir. And I hope there will be no unpleasantness, officer... If you'll excuse me now, I must run along. I have a kipper waiting for me. Oh, dear me, look at the time. My umbrella, if you don't mind. Oh, thank you. Yes, I shall be so late. Oh, dear.
Now, you, let me have a look at that envelope 53 gave you. Come on.
Oh, here it is. So much for the concession we have risked our necks to get. Oh, how can I face my friends? How can I face the general?
Concession? Shall we look... Received from Mr. Basil Deverell a sum of fourpence, being a fare from Victoria to Edgware Road, not tendered when requested on service 53. Signed, Henry Penny for the LPTB.
Yes, dear. May I put my umbrella in the kitchen to dry?
All right. Mind you spread a newspaper.
Yes, dear.
What sort of a day have you had at the office?
Oh, very dull, dear. You know, I think I shall quite enjoy the pictures tonight. I see the first film is a gangster picture. I hope it's exciting. ¶¶